I do it for a while, and I fail for a while. In 1995, I was pastoring in Colorado. We had started a church plant in 91, and in 95, our church had grown to capacity to where we had to build new facilities. During that time, I found myself burned out. That's possible to do. Who's ever burned out with a job or something? You know, probably one of the problems I have as a pastor is I'm too honest. I tell you things that I go through, and the reason I tell you that is if I go through them, I know that other people go through them as well. So in 1995, this is how my week would go. At 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, I would go to the campground, the KOA campground that was in the edge of our town, and I would preach for 45 minutes. We'd have a service there. We would sing. We'd have church. At 9 o'clock, I had a radio broadcast that was live on a country music radio station in Colorado. Didn't have a Christian radio station in our area. So every Sunday at 9 o'clock, they gave me a 30-minute spot. So I went to the radio station. I preached live on the radio. At 10 o'clock, I taught an auditorium Sunday school class. At 11 o'clock, I would preach a sermon. At 2 o'clock, we'd have another church service. I would preach that one. On Tuesday night, we had a college Bible study. And on Wednesday night, I preached regular Wednesday night service. So that was my week. And what was happening to me was we were about to go into this building project. And I found myself every day looking for lessons to preach on, to teach on. And my personal devotional life just went down the tubes. And I really was looking at preaching as a job and thinking about I need to probably do something different. And I came home for a couple day visit, and I ran into an older preacher, kind of a mentor preacher. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, "You're burning out, aren't you?" And like, it was visible. And he said, "Honestly, Yule, I am. I'm done. I can't even find a sermon anymore." And he said, "You've got to get back to reading and feeding." And I really didn't understand what that meant. And he said, "You have got to get back. When have you ever just read for not a sermon?" I said, "It's been a long time. Because every time I'm reading for something to preach on, something to teach on." I've even started to do, anytime preachers do series, I'm just giving y'all a heads up. That kind of takes a lot of the pressure off. And so series, I already know what, that's why I love Revelation. I already know what we're going to study Wednesday night, so I can have that already scheduled. And if you notice, there's a lot of preachers who do a lot of series. But you know, I think I found out that God speaks to me more individual messages, because whatever I'm going through, usually somebody in my congregation is going through the same stuff. So long story short, through a Bible study with some college kids that had came from Arkansas to visit and a preacher who gave me some good advice, I began to get my life back in order, where the first thing that mattered was my time with God. And here we are at a new year. Everybody makes resolutions. I don't want you to make a resolution. But how many of you need to hear something from God today? I'm talking about you've got something personal that you would really like God to tell you what you need to do right now. And you know what happens to us? We come to God in time of trouble with an emergency. "God, I need to hear from you right now." And if we're not used to hearing from God in general, like all the time, then we're never going to hear from Him when it comes to those important times, when it's personal. So I wanted to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes, how to hear from God, how to hear the voice of God. Go with me to 1 Samuel. I tried to think of a verse to start with, and this was the one that kind of stuck in my mind. And I put in parentheses the value of God's voice. How important is God's voice to you in your life right now? I asked my Sunday school class a while ago, when was the first time you heard the voice of God?
some young lady shared with me in class when she said when God was talking to me about going forward to get saved was really when God's voice became real to me. And I challenged her to tell me when was the next time you really heard God's voice then. And I kind of led her into the answer because how many of you, when you do something wrong, you know it? Who told you? It is, it's God. He said, well, it was the Spirit of God. But that's God, right? When Jesus told us that He was going away and He's going to send the Comforter, He said He's going to send one and the same. So when you got the Spirit, you didn't get like the third one. You know, well, I got number three of the Trinity. No, you got God. Well, I was sure rather been here when Jesus was alive and walked like the disciples did. You are, because you got the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's Jesus. He's no less God. He's no less Jesus than God and Jesus, okay? So we have the same thing that all these other men have had in history. But look what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want you to think about the value of God's voice. I know you want to hear God's voice, but how important is it? Because determined on how you value something determines what you do. Vanessa just got her first car. She's always dreamed of having a yellow Mustang. She found a yellow Mustang. She is the proud owner of a yellow Mustang. She has washed it to the paint's about washed off of the yellow Mustang. She gets out of it, she walks around it to see if she's got any new dents from other drivers. I mean, she is the... She told me the other day, she got up, went to the bathroom, looked out the window to see if it's still there. He said, well, that's so cute and everything. That car is the number one thing in her life right now. But think about this. She's come from a developing country. None of her family members have ever owned a car. If you go visit her family where they live in Belize, they all go by bicycles or they walk. Vanessa's the first one in her family to ever own a car or drive a car. That's valuable to her. And she treats it like it's valuable. Do you have anything in your life that valuable? Well, preacher, yeah, my wife, my kids. That's awesome. But how valuable is God's voice to you? Look at this scripture, 1 Samuel 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord, I underline this word in the King James, was precious in those days. That word means valuable. Or that word means rare. Valuable or rare. So what was happening in Samuel's day, God wasn't appearing a lot to the prophets and letting them know anything. Actually, he said this in the rest of that verse. There was no open vision. Men like Amos would get a vision from God, and it would be a still picture like of a fruit basket. But sometimes the prophets got an open vision. That vision was alive and moving, and they were part of the story. Like Daniel, John, the Revelator, Peter in your Bible. Those men had those open visions from God where God would put them in the scenario and they could see it. And those open visions were so real and rare that when people heard them, they valued it. You say, well, preacher, what was the big deal? Well, the big deal was they wasn't sitting in a church like you with a Bible in their lap. Most of God's Word was being passed around by mouth. They couldn't go on their iPad or iPhone and run up and find their Scripture and look for a translation that they understood better, or even a commentary on it. So when these prophets would say something from God, man, I mean, everybody got quiet, and everybody listened, and everybody hung on to it. You ever anything that valuable? I thought of a good example. This is a horrible example, but she would have loved it. My granny, my mom's mom, we called her granny, she never wore her teeth. And we'd go out to eat or we'd go to church somewhere. And I can remember before we'd go into the church building, she'd open up her purse that she had everything in the world in it. I don't know how she packed that thing. And inside a Kleenex, y'all with me, she'd wrap her teeth up in a Kleenex. She'd bring them babies out. She'd put them in there. And then, man, she wore them. They were valuable to her. And you go to a restaurant to eat, she'd pull them out of that purse, out of that napkin, in the restaurant, put them in. They were valuable. And I always said, anything that's worth anything in your life, you wrap it up in a Kleenex. But she thought something was so valuable that she wanted to protect it. How valuable to you today is hearing from God? So I'm going to give you four things I think can help us. Because we are fast food, fast paced Christians living in the 20th century, and we are definitely missing God. Because everything I studied, Brother Eric, tells me that God does not work in a fast food pace. So here's the first thing. If you want to hear from God, you've got to set up an appointment with God. Now, I just heard Bibles close and phones go off. Uh-uh. See, preacher, God is everywhere and anywhere, and I can just go to Him anytime. That's awesome. That's great. I believe that to a point. But you know what? If you read your Bible, men made appointments with God. When have you ever made an appointment with God? Do you know God has appointments with you, Sheila? He says the appointed unto man wants to die. You know that God knows your death date? It's appointed. If God has appointments with me, should I have appointments with Him? Is there any biblical reasoning behind that? There is. Go to Exodus with me. Exodus 19. I thought about this. Why wouldn't you make an appointment with God? You make appointments with people you don't even like. Who's ever made appointments with the tax people? You look forward to that appointment? How many keeps it? Right? I heard rumor we get like 3 extra days this year. Is that rumor true? We get like to April 18th, I believe. I heard that. Y'all need to check. Peggy said, I believe he's right. How many of that made you happy? 3 extra days, like that's going to change the world, right? In our minds it does. One of the worst things about making an appointment is missing an appointment. I put down on my personal notes, a missed appointment with God leads to disappointment. So read with me in Exodus 19. I thought this was a cool passage of Scripture. Look at verse 10. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Drop down to verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him, by what? When? The third day. Because God had made appointment. He said, there's some things I want you to do before you come and meet with me. That's why I think it's dangerous to meet with God in a fast-paced, fast-food way. Why don't you get something from God quick? Preacher, can you get done in 16 minutes? Because We need to get out of here. I got places to go. I got stuff going on. If you can hurry up and get it through, I'll watch it again on the internet and I'll go through it again this week. You can't serve God that way. You know what these people did for 3 days? They got themselves ready to hear from God. If I've got an appointment with somebody that I've scheduled, it's on my little desk calendar, you know what? I'm already thinking 3 or 4 or 5 days a week ahead. 2 weeks ahead. I'm already thinking about what's going to go on. I got an appointment with the Correll family Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I got an appointment with Betty Helton Tuesday morning, somewhere about 6 o'clock. I'm not just going to wing it. I'm making plans, preparations. I'm not just going to stand up in a pulpit and say a few words about a man who gave his whole life to serving God. I'm trying to prepare myself. I'm trying to reverse this. If Brother Wendell was standing at my funeral and saying some things about me, what would he say? See, anytime appointment's worth anything, it's worth preparation for. And isn't hearing from God worth the preparation? So I put down that every day of your life you need to have a time and a place. Well, preacher, I understand that 5 o'clock is the best time. It wouldn't be for me. I'm still about half comatose at 5 o'clock a.m. Now, there's some people probably sitting here, 5 o'clock is a good time. So what I say is, whatever you're most functionable at, that time's a good time. When all your things are working together, all your thought process, everything you got going on is going on, now's a good time to make an appointment with God and spend some time. You need a time and a place. Why do I think you need a place? Who gets distracted? I don't. I'd be a great candidate for Ritalin. I think I'm ADD like crazy. I can get you can be talking to me and I'm looking at you thinking, that is the cutest baby back there I ever saw. And you just think I'm like the greatest paying attention person you've ever been around. Most of the time I'm not. I'm like distracted. So when I talk to God, I don't take iPhones with me. I actually leave home, usually. I think you need a place. You know the Bible actually taught places in the Bible? Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, you've all heard the scripture, if my people were to call by my name, who's heard that part? Have you ever read the next verse, verse 15? He said, I have made this place. And I will hear my people in this place. God had a place. He said, I will hear you. You know that God said, where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst? Well, preacher, I can worship God at home in my bass boat. Not really. You might have a conversation with God at home in your bass boat. And I know that's all awesome to be in the woods and see God's handiwork. But there's something about gathering together with God's people. That's why He told us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is an important part. But I'm talking about your personal life. You say, well, preacher, I come to church every Sunday. I'm doing what you're saying. A time and a place. So you just need to hear from God one time this week? You need Him every day. You need to hear from God in general every day. You need a time and a place to meet with God. Well, preacher, I don't pray in public. That's fine. A lot of people don't pray in public. I'm talking about you and God talking. He wants to have a relationship with you. We discussed that in my class. I won't discuss that again here. But do you know God wants to have a relationship with you? And it's not a buddy-friend relationship. It's actually a love relationship. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants you to want Him. He wants you to come to Him in your time of need. The second thing I put down is you have to be still in worship. Go with me to Psalms 46. I have a couple of verses I want you to read with me. Go to Psalms 46. This is familiar, I know, to everybody, but I want to read these to you. Psalms 46. How many of you have trouble getting still? I mean, isn't church like the hardest 30 minutes you ever spend? Like the first 30 we're singing and standing for prayer, standing to shake hands, standing for an offering. But like the last 30, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to sit still. The baby's going to cry. I mean, I heard something outside. Isn't it tough? So if it's tough sitting in church, how tough is it when you're at home doing your prayer and your study. So I think until you get still, you'll never hear from God. But I think there's two things at work, and I want you to see them both. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. How will you know who God is? It says by being still. Let me explain. I don't think it's like that kind of still, but I think it's where you clear your thoughts and your minds to everything else, and just for a few moments, God gets to occupy your thoughts. And before you know it, you start noticing what God's doing, and you start seeing God everywhere. You start getting more aware of what God's doing in your life. See, if you go to God in your time of prayer, and your time of study, and your time alone with God, and all you're thinking about is what I'm going to do when this 10 minutes is over, then chances are you never heard nothing from God through that whole time. So let's be honest. Let's just vote. How many of you have trouble with the being still part? So I'm going to help you with that. I was almost going to do it publicly, but I'm about afraid to because I know how I get started off tune. But you know one of the greatest ways to start your time with God is with song? Song. Go to Ephesians 5. How many want to be filled with the Spirit? Everybody gets excited about that. That means we get to jump some pews and run some stuff and lay on the floor and kick and scream, right? That's what... No. There's a little bit more to that than that. Verse 18 of Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That simply means be controlled by the Spirit. I want you to know that there's two spirits living inside of you. That didn't spook nobody. You got your fleshly nature, and the fleshly nature is controlled by the devil. And when you get saved, you get born again. And when you got born again, you got born from above. And you got a new spirit inside of you. It didn't come like 3 days later or 2 weeks later. It came at the moment that you were saved. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt. And all of a sudden, a war kicked off inside of your life. And you go through the things that Paul did. That which I used to do, I can't do anymore. And that which I want to do, I don't do. How many knows what Paul's talking about? That inward battle. That's the two going on inside of you. The one that wins is the one that's what? The strongest. That's who wins, whoever's the strongest. I used to give illustrations of the black dog and the white dog. Whichever one gets fed the most gets the strongest. And eventually it'll break the chain. What happens is sometimes we feed the black dog so much it breaks the chain and we run crazy in the flesh. That's why men turn 50 years old and decide they need a girlfriend. Where'd that come from? I don't know. I don't have a girlfriend, by the way. Still in love with the first one. But I'm telling you what happens. Little things begin to feed our flesh, and the whatever gets fed the most gets the strongest. So here's what Paul said. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Let me help you get filled. Let me help the white dog be the strongest one in your life. Here's what he said. Speaking to yourselves. Well, I thought we just did this at church. See, that's the problem. We've let the devil steal our song. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. What? So I find myself when I'm really serious, Jill, about serving and talking to God, there's a song that pops up. And listen, I'm not like a fan of K-Love, but I've got some of them K-Love songs stuck in my head. I heard Word of God speak yesterday. I start crying. I'm going down the road. I'm crying. I'm saying, you know what? This is probably a good time for me and God to have a talk. This morning when I'm getting ready to come here, I'm all nervous. My thoughts, I don't want my thoughts at 2:30 to run into these thoughts. And I'm trying to keep all my thoughts together. And I start singing that, what a day that will be. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Woo, I'm almost getting there. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. You get there. Now you can talk to God. Because that song all of a sudden gets everything back in perspective. And after singing Dust in the Wind, I know it's in Ecclesiastes, but chances are it was Kansas that sung it that got stuck in your head. Or Wheel in the Sky, Keep on Turning. You think, journey. No, that's the wrong journey. I'm going to get back to the right journey. You've got to speak to yourselves. It's not about how good it sounds. It's not that they're going to record it and it's going to sell millions of copies. This is about your song that God put in your heart to talk to Him about. And when He puts that song in your heart, it starts getting you ready. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I like crazy up here? How many's doing this every day of their life? How many's struggling? You got to set an appointment. You got to be still in worship. Go with me to 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Let me just skip one and take you to one. 2 Chronicles. I'll try to hurry. Sometimes I get carried away. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a cool passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Children of Israel are surrounded by three armies. Three armies have surrounded them. God speaks to them and tells them what to do. I want you to see this. Verse 17. 2 Chronicles 20. God speaks. And this is what God says. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. We got three armies surrounding us and you're saying what? You don't need to fight in this battle. I love what He says. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah, O Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. But I don't have to fight? Nope, you don't have to fight. Here's what I want you to do. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before, y'all see that? Before the army. Singers before soldiers. I never paid attention to that. Why do we sing before we have worship? We've called preacher. That's what they did in my grandpa's day, and that's what they did in my great-grandpa's day. And that's just what we do. Well, really, there's some Bible reasons behind this. Singing was supposed to go before the soldiers. So wouldn't it make sense that some singing would go before your battle that you're about to face out there in the world, before you need to hear from God, there needs to be some singers go with that first. And guess who's been appointed to be the singers? Apparently nobody today. We didn't have a special. Nobody had a song? That's why God let me sing to you, right? Wasn't that awesome? Here's what I want you to know. God's appointed you to sing. Well, preacher, I don't have a song. You know why? Because you've let the devil steal your song from you. You got something to sing about today. Preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. I know. But God knows. God knows. And you want to hear from God? He's going to give you a song. I love what He says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We had somebody visit our church the other day and they said, I loved it. I said, we're real different. I know, but it's been a long time since I sung the song out of a book. They thought it was so cool we had a book. I said, really? Yeah, we don't have books at our church. Sometimes it's just good to sing a hymn. Now listen, don't nobody get mad. I like spiritual songs too. Y'all going to be shocked at this. I'm not even against this. I wouldn't be against that. I felt like a couple times Angie just taking a fit and run. I don't know where I'm running, but I just want to run somewhere. But I'm sure if I started running in here, I'd have to just run out the doors because I'd done be embarrassed. I can't believe I just ran, but I did. I ran. Y'all ever had a feeling that God just wants you to just like, I don't know. That's going to really mess something up. I'm telling you, spiritual songs and hymns and psalms can get us where we need to be so we can hear God. You need an appointment. You need to get still. You need to sing a song. Number three, you need to pray and read. I put down Mark 1:35. I won't turn there and read, but you'll read where Jesus went out in the morning to a specific spot and talked to God. That's in Mark 1. That's when Jesus' ministry was just getting started. I believe Jesus had places He met with God. If the Son of God had appointments and meeting places with the Father, what does that tell you and me today? I need an appointed place. Well, preacher, what do I pray about? Read with me in Psalms 119. I got too many scriptures to read to you, but I'm going to read a couple of them. Psalms 119, 147. What do I pray about? This is going to be a shocker to you. Well, the Bible teaches we're going to pray for those in authority. You know, there are some days I don't want to pray for Obama. Long as there's days Obama doesn't even come on my mind. Because there's bigger things than Obama in my life. Some of you just got very hurt feelings about me. I'm going to tell you what I think you should pray for. You should pray for what's on your heart and mind. The other day I got a phone call from Josh. He's our oldest son. He's thinking about a different job, thinking about transferring, doing something different. He said, Dad, he says, I'm torn. I've been with this guy this long, and now I'm not sure if I should do this or not do that. He said, I need you to pray. You know what? I didn't pray for the country in like 5 days. I'm just being honest. I'll get on down here and be more honest. Y'all want me to be more honest? I didn't pray for your mama a couple of days. And I love your mama. You know that. But you know what I prayed for? What was most important on my heart and mind. Think that's wrong, Mike? Who put that there? God did. That was a burden, Kate, that God put on me and His mom. And we together have been praying for our son who's in urgent need to hear from God. And I can't hear from God and tell Him what God said, but I can pray for him to be talking to God and hear what God said. In my prayer life, the last 4 or 5 days, last week, were for him. I went to see Brother Wendell. When I seen Brother Wendell, I began to pray more for their family. Because I could see the situation and kind of been there with Mom. Brother Wendell looked so much like my Papaw laying in that bed. I mean, they were Pastor twins laying there in my Papaw's last day. And I know what the grandkids were going through because I'm one of the grandkids. I'm the same place Nathan is today. I've been there. A grandfather that was in the ministry and had a great ministry. I've been there. And all of a sudden my prayers began to be more real for them. But when I was at Louisville that day, wow. I wasn't praying for you. I was praying for your mama because I've been where she's at. And Rochelle's prayers were more for you because she's been where you're at. See, what you need to pray for, what's on your heart. That's what you need to bring to God, what's on your heart. Then you need to read something. Ah, here we go. Read through the Bible in a year, preacher. I try every year and never make it. Listen, I can't do the prophet. Where am I supposed to read, preacher? Somewhere on the inside of this cover and this cover. Listen, I'm going to help you. Preacher, every time I get to the bagasse, I just begot. I'm giving you permission to skip the bagasse and the bagasse. But you need to read and see something from God. I'm telling you, I asked you to start with, how many want to hear something from God? And you did what? Yeah, I do. How many wants a specific hearing from God? You said, yeah, I do. I'm telling you, you better make an appointment with Him. A time and a place. And you got to get still. And you need to pray. What's prayer? It's talking. God's communicating. That's how you pray. Preacher, do you got to close your eyes? I hope all of you don't. Because I pray going down the road sometimes. Sometimes when I'm in the car by myself and I'm headed to Lexington or I'm heading somewhere by myself, I hear some radio and I end up hearing what I needed to hear, turn that off, and me and God start having a conversation. People pulling up beside me, I'm sure they're looking over. Because I talk out loud, Angie. I'm like out loud, Lord, you know what? I could really use a little help right now. Anybody? You're okay. If you're crazy, I am too, okay? I'm just letting you know. And you're part of a crazy congregation. Number four, you need to listen. And I'm going to put something else with listen. I really never put these together until a couple years ago. And I don't know why I didn't. But you need to listen and write. My grandmother, my mom's mom, my granny, the one that keeps the teeth in the napkin, every day since I was in the world, and before I was in the world, she wrote in a little diary. Farm Bureau gave them away, kind of like a daily planner, had a little square about that big. And every day of her life, she wrote something in there. When she got ready to pass away, she said, I know that you're the only one that cares about those books. I want you to have them. And she told me where she hid them. My granny was smart, too, because she knew other people try to get to them. And she hid them things in two trunks. And I got them. I got a cousin that's reading through them now. It's so cool to just flip April 19th, 1966. Papa was gone away in revival, been gone 6 weeks. Two of the Red Hereford cows had calves, one died. I mean, she put everything in there. But you know what else she put in there? She put what she prayed for that day, Greg. She always wrote at the end of the day in a rocking chair. Granny had a big old recliner rocker. And she wrote at the end of the day, every day, she'd write in that what she prayed for. Couldn't wait to get to May 5th, 1963. That was a big day in the world. It was besides being that day, Cinco de Mayo. It was another day in the world, too. Big day. He's made all the papers. Stephen Dwayne Meese was born. I found it in her little book. And she prayed for Wanda Faye to have a safe delivery. And she's praying for her to be able to get up there to see the baby. Wow. She wrote it down. You think there's biblical proof about writing it down? I'll give you some scripture. I ain't got time to read them to you. But go to Psalms 45:1, 1 Chronicles 28:19, Habakkuk 2:2. David said in the Psalms, he said, God laid it upon my heart. He said it was like a river busting out of the banks. And I had to write it down. Can I tell you something? When you're doing your time with God and you're reading and you're listening for God to tell you something, I put two things and I'll close with you. I think these are important. I put down that I write my prayers, and I do. I write my prayers down, whatever I'm praying for. These are the things, Lona, that are important to me right now. This is what I write down, what I'm praying for. And I write down how I think God's going to answer that. So, well, that's a little crazy. No, it's not. God gave us great and precious promises, He says in His Word. I write down how I think God is going to answer my prayer. Who does anything crazy like that? Anybody? Just kind of picture how God's going to... Where's that come from, you think? See, here's what you're going to find. If you'll take this serious today, here's what you're going to find. You know a God who knows your future. He knows everything about your life. He knows your struggle. Hannah, right there, fixing to start off college next week, right? Fixing to move to Liberty. Start a new call, new world, new everything. But you know, God knows exactly what she's headed for. He knows. And He says, Hannah, if you'll just talk to me and you'll listen, I'm going to help you through this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him. That means you've got to stop and say, what do you think, God? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. He shall what? What path? The path that He's got planned. He's got it planned. Then I put down this. Write what you think God is saying in the Scripture you read. That's where I challenged Carrie this summer. Carrie was with us when we were in Belize for a month. I said, I want all my kids to do this. Because we do this kind of at home when we do our family devotionals. Everybody's got to say, what verse stuck out? And what did that verse mean to you today? Why do we write it down? Anybody, why we write stuff down? Who writes stuff? Post-it notes, sticky notes. Who writes stuff? Why do you write it down? To remember. It's a proven fact. When Shell and I were in Bible school, we had a teacher who wanted us to memorize like whole chapters of the Bible. Rochelle verified this. And what we did was, Ben Hur would sit and write all week those verses out on paper. Just write. And then on the way to school, we'd quote. And you know what, Angie? Those scriptures that I memorized back then are still the scriptures I got to memory today. But you know, I used to memorize scripture just to get something when I was in Sunday school and stuff. You memorize this, you'll get this. You know what? I probably can't quote half of those. But I memorized them just long enough to get in there and get the candy and get out. So if you're doing it for some challenge like that, it'll do you no good. I'm telling you, the things you write stick. The things you write stick. You want to hear from God? Now let me ask you a question. Who wants to hear from God? Who needs something specific from God you need to hear? The hands went way down. When I started, like, yeah! Now it's like, because you know what? It's valuable. If it's valuable, Dean, you're going to put the effort. If it's valuable, if it's rare, you're going to put the time. You're going to set a time. It's going to be on your account. This is what I do right now today. You make appointments. And you hear from God. Let's stand and pray. Lord, I pray today in this congregation is a group of Your people who really seriously want to hear from You. Lord, I want to hear from You more than I ever have. But I'm just like everybody else. I set appointments sometimes, but I miss them. And the only thing I can say, it must not have been that important. So Lord, I want first of all and foremost in my life to understand the value of hearing from You. I want to understand how rare it is not to hear from some other preacher, but to hear from You. God, help me to keep my appointments with You. Help me to be still. Help me to read and pray. But Lord, help me hear. And Lord, help me to write down what I've heard from You. Lord, I thank You for being a God who wants to be personable in my life. But Lord, as I think about this congregation where You've allowed me to be the pastor and to serve, Lord, I just think what this church might be able to accomplish if we could just get all on the same page. So Lord, challenge our hearts today. If nothing else, give us a good challenge. So that even if we're thinking about tomorrow morning, Monday morning, scheduling some time for You. A place and some time. Thank You. Have Your way in this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. What was singing, Brian?